You may have heard of us, but you might not know Bank First is a community bank that has no fee ATM access, interest and perks earning checking accounts. With online and mobile banking, mortgages for every stage of life, and modern business banking for businesses, small and big. We keep it all together to put you first. Do you bank with us? You should. Bank First is an equal housing lender and a member FDIC.
Well, happy Sunday morning, everyone. The Bulldogs have, at the minimum, salvaged a game in this series against Vanderbilt. But they're going to play today for a chance to win this series. Looked bad on Friday. Pretty good yesterday. Hunter Hines huge at the plate. Got good pitching. But here's the thing. Through the miracle of modern technology, I'm not alone, at least virtually, drinking coffee this morning. From parts unknown, although I'm not sure it's terribly unknown anymore, Bart Gregory is here. Bart, how's the world traveler?
Charlie, it's been outstanding. I'm actually sitting in Edinburgh, Scotland this morning, not Edinburgh, as they say in Leake County. But it's middle of the day here, man. I mean, it's early morning for you. It's middle of the day. I'm about to have some afternoon tea. I had my morning coffee this morning. It was not blueberry cobbler from Strange Brew, even though I think we need to talk to Shane. What I'm willing to do is to move to Edinburgh and open up a store of Strange Brew coffee over here. And so I can open it up in the morning, serve the coffee, and then you and I can get together and do podcasts in the afternoon. It'll be morning for you. It'll be afternoon for me. I think this thing has a chance to be perfect. But you talk about modern technologies. I've got more adapters plugged in right now. I am an electronic savant on the levels of Joe Moorhead with his savantness of offense.
Well, there's a lot to unpack there. So I'll just let that hanging curveball just sail by. Hey, so Scotland, you're talking about devices and plugins. Do they have different style plugins than what I'm used to? Is that why you have to have the adapters?
Yes, I have different adapters that plug into the wall. And we're actually going to a different part of Europe later. And so we'll have to have a different kind of adapter. Charlie, there's two things that have happened on our trip that you would have had a blast watching me do. The first thing is trying to drive through Scotland on the wrong side of the road, the left side of the road, sitting in a seat on the right side. And you haven't lived a day in your life until you tried to learn that on the fly in roundabouts in Glasgow, Scotland. And let me tell you this. My wife, my lovely wife, deemed that my abilities to drive out of the gate were not acceptable to the Scottish behavior. And but I did learn. I did a pretty good job there. I finished that up, and we turned the car in yesterday, and no dents at all. I will not have to call my Farm Bureau agent, who has been outstanding through any process I have. Of course, you're in the Farm Bureau studios. I'm in the roving Mississippi Farm Bureau studios. Go with the home team at Farm Bureau, but I will not be staking any kind of claim for any driving accident over here in Scotland.
Well, this is the most roving that the roving Farm Bureau studios have ever done. I would like to rove here pretty soon. I think it was John Steinbeck in Travels with Charlie said that one of the defining characteristics of Americans was the desire to be somewhere else. And it didn't really matter where they were or where that somewhere else was. It's just that we kind of want to be somewhere else. I'm looking forward to next weekend having a home baseball series. And then I was just looking at my calendar, and unfortunately my wife has begun to commit me to various things on weekends, which I tend to try to hold sacred. But alas, no Scotland in my future. So, hey, I know you're across the pond, as they say, but I know you're interested in what was going on in Nashville. I think this is probably the second or third time this year that I've said, you know what, that's a good job of getting up off the canvas. In my mind, when Cunningham goes out there and goes 9 innings on game one, they don't have to get into their bullpen at all. I thought we were cooked. I thought we were absolutely cooked. And then Hunter Hines did what he can do. He has a huge game. And we got to talk about him, but the other guy we got to talk about, Brooks Auger. You know, the thing about Auger is he's been a guy who he just hasn't been stretched out to be a starter. It's not to say that he's not capable. And I commented yesterday that the thing about Auger is he's really good until he's not. He, as much as anybody, hits the point where he's done and he's done. But the thing that's been going on the past few weeks is that point of being done just seems to get longer and longer into the ball game. I know we got to talk about Hines, but I really got to tip my hat to Brooks Auger right off the start for that game yesterday.
And, Charlie, I had the same exact observation. I mean, Brooks Auger, the thing he does show you when he loses it. I mean, it's not narrow misses. I mean, he came out to pitch the sixth inning, and he had some big misses, and that's what we've seen over the past couple of weeks when Brooks has had to come in. We saw it last week. But as you said, you saw it in the sixth inning yesterday. You saw it in the fourth inning, you know, last week, or the fifth inning. And the outing before that, it was the third or fourth inning that you saw him really kind of lose that release point. And when he starts missing high and arm side as well, that's your tip to, as a pitching coach, to know to come get him. And that's when they came and got him. And so for him to go five innings yesterday and kind of settle things down, I thought coming out yesterday, Hunter Hines hitting the home run in the second inning. And, of course, everybody talks about that three-run home run in the sixth and, you know, to give you the bigger lead and put you up at, you know, 5-0 at the time. But just having a lead yesterday, it's the same situation you saw against Florida, same situation you saw against Texas A&M. I thought just coming out and staking a lead early in the game, and then Auger was outstanding. And so having a lead to the middle innings was so big for us to come back. I mean, I'm with you. I mean, I want to win today. And, man, if you know, listening to us over the past several years, I want to beat Vanderbilt. But, you know, a loss today is not detrimental. Going on the road and getting swept is detrimental. You know, we're pretty much the same ball club as Vanderbilt when you look at us from a stat standpoint. We pitch it about the same. We hit it about the same. We actually field it a little bit more than Vanderbilt. And right now, you know, we both have the same record in the SEC.
I thought, too, and kind of bookend this thing, we talk about Auger with the start. I thought also the ninth inning. You've seen the game cut to 5-4, and there is, I mean, no offense, but there's not a whole lot of confidence I've got sending anybody to the mound in a one-run game right now, or history just hasn't been great there. The Hizak single to get things started, and then with two outs, Ethan Pulliam with the double going to right field on a ball. I mean, that thing was upper 90s, and he puts that ball into right field, gets the double. That adds a run. And then I thought Joe Powell. Powell was 0-for-3 on the day at the time, but he gives you a single, drives in the other run. So different going out there 7-4 instead of 5-4. And look, I'm a Tyler Davis fan, as you know, but I didn't really want him going back to the mound up 5-4, headed to the bottom of the last.
No, I didn't either. Those two runs were massive right there. And you know, Ethan Pulliam has done a much better job at the plate. I've been very pleasantly surprised to see what Ethan has been able to do at the plate. We all knew he was a very athletic player, a very good defender, but you just weren't sure because he's a freshman of how he was going to handle it. And then with Powell coming up, I thought Powell, that single there to score Ethan, was big as well. And it was interesting, Charlie, I was listening to Jim and Coach Polk, you know, broadcast the game, and we were getting some good swings on Holcomb there, or excuse me, on Carter there, you know, that right-hander that throws 100 miles an hour. But as Coach Polk was saying on the air, is it must be straight. It must not have been moving a whole lot. And you see the difference there. At this level, it doesn't matter if you can just throw hard. I mean, you have to place it and add some movement to it. But, man, Ethan being able to turn that ball around and go the other way, and then you take a 7-4 lead going to the bottom of the ninth. You just can't understate how big those two at-bats were from your 8 and 9 spots in the order, which brings up another thing, Charlie, you know, the leadoff spot. And we've been talking about the leadoff position, you know, for weeks now. You drop down Amani in this series, and you've been kind of waiting to see Chris Lemonis drop him down a little bit to kind of free him up some. And Bryce Chance, I thought Bryce Chance, moving him to the top of the order, he's a guy that puts the ball in play, that he may be a good, you know, a good addition at the top of the order. He's 0-for-9 this weekend. You know, we put Marshawn in that leadoff spot early in the year, and he really struggled in that leadoff spot. And, you know, we still haven't been able to find, you know, that spark at the top of the order. But dadgummit, yesterday, man, we got it from the bottom of the order.
Well, we did, and we've kind of put off talking about it, but Hunter Hines yesterday goes 3-for-4, scores 2 runs, drives in 5. He has 2 home runs. He has a double. All year long, we've kind of been waiting on Hunter to come to life, you know, to have that big explosive game. What you hope is that yesterday was the start of a run. You hope that yesterday was when everything just clicked and turned on. And because the thing we always – how many times have we talked about? There are a lot of very average baseball teams who just get hot at the right time and can make a run. We're getting almost to that point of the year where you want to start to get hot and make that run. We're running out of SEC weekends here. And if Hunter Hines can be – look, obviously, nobody's going to go out and do what he did yesterday, every game out. But if that is a spark that gets him going, I think it completely changes this team. As much as you want production at the top of the order, man, getting Hines hot, because, one, that gives some more protection to Dakota Jordan, and it doesn't put as much burden on the back end of your lineup.
No, it doesn't. And what it does, it gives you the ability to get some quick runs. I mean, when you look at our stats right now, we're 8th in the league as far as hitting, right? We're batting .263, and I'm talking about SEC-only games. I don't worry about any non-conference games. I just look at SEC-only stats. Right now, our pitching is 3rd best in the league as far as ERA. We have pitched it much better. Vanderbilt's 4th, okay? Vanderbilt is 7th in the league in hitting. We're 6th in the league in hitting. We're 7th in the league in hitting. We're batting .263 in league play. But when you start looking at the number of hits, we've had the 8th most hits in the league, Charlie, but we're in the bottom third in the league in extra base hits. We're in the bottom third in doubles. We don't have a triple in SEC play, and we're in the bottom third when it comes to home runs. So what does that mean? It means we've had to earn it a little bit more. And so what Hunter Hines doing, being able to put some home runs on the board, 3-run home runs after you get a couple singles, you don't feel like you're having to work as hard. I mean, it feels like we've had to work extremely hard to get what we've gotten. And when you can get guys driving balls like that, and it doesn't matter if they go, you know, 1-for-4 or 2-for-5, just as long as that one is a big one. That's what you can. I mean, that's how teams are successful in the major leagues. We talk about the new era of batting, and people get so hung up on strikeouts and getting out. But the way you combat that is having the big at-bats. And, man, he had those big at-bats yesterday.
There is only one team in the league that has hit fewer home runs than us in league play, and that is Missouri hitting .250. Now, I didn't expect this team to be at the top of the league. I mean, right now, Tennessee has hit almost 3 times as many as we have. It's just – we just have not had the power in league play. And – but it's there. It's there is the thing that gets me. And so if it's turning on, I think that changes things. We mentioned Tyler Davis a minute ago. I thought Tyler Davis – he came in a tough spot, gets a fly out, and then gets a strikeout on a 3-2 pitch to end it in the 8th. Last year at times, man, well, I won't even say at times, there were almost no times you wanted to see him on the mound. But Harden and Tyler Davis, both different guys right there. And if you'd have told me that we'd be sitting here, what is it, I think we're 4th in the league in ERA pitching, I wouldn't have taken that bet for anything.
No, and I put Harden, like you said, I put Harden and Tyler Davis in the same situation. I mean, I'm going to be quite candid with you, Charlie. I mean, you know, I mean, when they came in last year, you kind of looked at yourself like, okay, and you really didn't bring them in late in the year unless you were bad behind. I mean, they were some inning eaters is what you were hoping to get. But what those – I mean, just the – getting sync with Tyson Harden – has been massive. And I think the biggest thing for Tyler Davis is from a mental standpoint. I mean, I think you really got to talk yourself into it as a, in that role. You have to be, you know, talk yourself into being the baddest dude on the planet when you walk in out of the bullpen. And he's had some outings where he's, you know, he's tripped up a little bit. But for the most part, man, he's kind of willed his way through it and pounding the strike zone. And I tell you what, yeah, those two guys are one of the reasons you've moved from 14th best in the SEC. I mean, you think about it. This time last year, we were so far behind 13th in the league. There was a chasm between 13 and us in pitching ERA in every stat, in walks, in opponent batting average, in ERA. And now you look up and you're, you know, past the midway point of the year and you're the third best ERA in the SEC. That is just simply amazing. But you have to have guys get better, and that's what we've had. We've had guys who have gotten better.
And then I think with Tyler Davis too, the thing that encourages you about yesterday, he came into the ball game down at Florida and didn't get it done. And what we said at the time was, all right, do you learn from this or are you better next time out? And you talk about Hunter Hines getting hot at the plate. Maybe get some guys hot and confident on the mound as well, and then that plays a factor. And, you know, Davis and Harden, a couple of guys now that at the back end you feel pretty good about. All right, now today, if I'm Vanderbilt, I was coming into yesterday saying we're about to sweep. Now, if I'm a Vanderbilt fan, I'm probably a little more down in the dumps thinking, how did we lose that game against a TBD on the mound? But today, now you'd have to say to some degree advantage swings back to us. We're the guy with a regular starter. We're the team with the regular starter going back out there. They're the ones, because of the suspension that they're dealing with from the foreign substance, are going to have to kind of mix and match on the mound a little bit today, presumably. And so you wonder, where are they mentally coming into the third game of the series?
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, and Vanderbilt is known to press a little bit, and they could press a little bit. But I'll say this, Charlie, you know, the thing about when you get to this point in the season, when you get past the midway point of SEC play and you begin to understand how everybody is, you know, you look back to a couple of weeks ago and what you did in Ole Miss, at Ole Miss, and losing 2 out of 3. That's the one you're going to look back at, that Saturday game, and say, how did that happen? And at the end of the year in late May, we're going to say, how did that happen? I think we're going to look back and also say, how did that Sunday game against Florida, how did it happen? Because those two teams are not very good. Ole Miss is just not good. And that's not a knock. I mean, you just are what you are. Florida is not very good as well. Vanderbilt is a lot better to me than Florida. And they're, you know, of course, a lot better than Ole Miss. And so if you go out there today, I don't think 3 weeks from now, if you lose a 2-run game today, and I'm taking this from a very conservative approach, I don't think if you lose a game by 2 runs today, you're going to look back 3 weeks from now and say, that's the game that hurt us. Now we've put ourselves in a position to look back 3 weeks from now and say, man, that was a weekend that can really catapult you, because their RPI is outstanding. And so what this could do from your RPI standpoint today, this is a resume-building type of day if you can go out and get it.
Looking at the league right now, I think you would have to say Kentucky, Tennessee on the east, Arkansas, A&M in the west. That's the four best teams in the league. And then there's another group that's trying to play to be the best of the rest. And as I look at it, that's basically just us and Vanderbilt and probably South Carolina at this point. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, we're a top half of the league type team. And and I know, you know, for some naysayers, it's hard to believe that we are actually a top half team in the SEC this year. And one of the reasons is the way we pitched it. Now, you know, you go back to what you've done offensively, and what can lead to it being so frustrating at times is we're not a team that just strikes out a ton overall as a team. I mean, we only struck out 4 times against Cunningham in the Friday game. We put some balls in play, but you're seeing more ground outs than you see, you know, balls put in the air. And I think that's one of the reasons you don't see the amount of home runs. But at the end of the day, man, you've got to like where you're sitting right now. Yeah, would you like to be second in the league in the East, or excuse me, in the West right now, right behind Arkansas? No, I mean, yeah, you'd love to be, but you're not. But this is a pretty good spot to be in.
Hey, you mentioned something about the game Friday. We actually talked about this yesterday when Lewis Creekmore sat in with me, got a little college student perspective here. One of the things that I told him, if you'd have handed me a stat sheet and shown me nothing but four strikeouts, I would have told you that we were winning that game big. And then if you'd have shown me that the flyouts and the groundouts were essentially even, I think we had 12 flyouts, 11 groundouts in that game, I'd have told you we 10-run ruled them. Because what that would have told me is we were putting it in play, and basically we were staying around the middle of the baseball, meaning it wasn't that some guy had a ton of sink and we were on top of everything or that we were popping everything up. That was one of those games to see those two things and then to see that you only have two hits, one of which was an infield single, that just blows my mind. On the other hand, you come out yesterday, you know, we probably feel a lot differently if Hunter Hines doesn't have the game he does. But it felt like we, I guess, found some green for balls to land in.
Yeah. I mean, hey, we only left three on base yesterday. So it's not like we left a bunch of guys on. And we didn't leave any guys on Friday night because we didn't get anybody on base. And so, yeah, man. Where we are right now, it's pretty good to go to Vanderbilt. We took a really good team up there. Was it 12 or 13? We went up there and got swept and just didn't play well at all. I think it may have been that 2012 team. And so there have been some really good teams that have gone to Vanderbilt and lost all three games. And what you did yesterday to pull out that one was really good.
It's odd, isn't it? You strike out four times on Friday and you get shut down. Yesterday we strike out 11 and we win by three runs. It's can be a strange game.
Now, Charlie, speaking of strange, I can't wait to get back to Starkville and get my Strange Brew coffee, my blueberry cobbler flavored coffee. I have not seen any blueberry cobbler flavored coffee over here, but I did see where Shane put out on social media the other day. They have a new drink there, and it's the London Fog. It's just a tea. And so a lot of people out there don't like the taste of coffee. And so you don't have to drink coffee to go to Strange Brew. You can have some tea. That was the other thing you would have laughed at me about. Not just about my driving skills in Scotland. But, Charlie, I partook in afternoon tea at Fortnum & Mason in London the other day. And so we had our afternoon tea. That was about as pretentious as I could possibly get. Today, I was walking around in downtown Edinburgh wearing my Country Pleasing Sausage hat. And a guy was like, "What is that?" I was like, "It's the greatest sausage in the world." And let me tell you this, if you introduce Country Pleasing to these people over here, they would not know how to act. And here, I go back to my point. There's two things we're going to do, Charlie. We're going to start a Strange Brew Coffee in Edinburgh. We're going to continue to do our podcasting in the afternoon. And then we're going to open up a pressure washing business, and we're going to make $1 billion over here.
Well, I don't want to question your credibility. And I don't doubt that you had on a Country Pleasing hat. I highly doubt, however, that anyone from the country of Scotland stopped you and said, "Hey, what is that?"
No, I actually did have a guy when we were walking into a place. He says, "Hey, what is that hat?" He said, "Because I've seen a Utah Jazz hat." He knew I was American. I guess I just portray that. But he said, "What is that hat?" And I said, "Actually, it's a hat for a sausage." And he said, "Well, I didn't know if it was like some kind of pigs or cubs or what it was." I said, "No, it's just a hat for sausage," which they are the greatest sausage in the world.
Okay, so I'll buy in there. Hey, you know who doesn't let you drive on the right side? Do you think Chris Keane could? I started to say he wouldn't let you. Do you think Chris Keane could find a car that would allow you to drive on the right side? You know, I had a neighbor one time who had one of those cars. He had a British car in the U.S. This is back in the 70s. You think Chris Keane could find us one of those?
Well, my neighbor in Nanawoya actually has a truck that has a steering wheel on the right side. Now, he's our mail rider, I mean, I guess I could work for the Postal Service when I leave here. But, I mean, but Chris Keen, I was driving by just north of St. Andrews yesterday. Went out to the old course at St. Andrews yesterday. And they had a Ford dealership, but it was a lot of cars. They didn't have many Ford F-150s out there. They don't sell the Ford F-150s like Chris does. But the great thing about Cannon Ford, just east of Starkville on Highway 182, they sell some great newer used cars. The service center is outstanding. They're open on Saturday now, in the morning on Saturday for the oil change, but also the body shop as well. But, yeah, the Ford dealerships over here did not look like what I would like to buy, like the ones at Cannon Ford and Starkville. Just about it, you know, they have so many more trucks on the lot in Starkville. That's kind of more my style.
So back stateside and dealing with baseball a minute, did you see what happened to Georgia yesterday?
Oh, did I? Yeah, they scored 9 runs in the first inning. Then A&M scored 8 in the bottom of the first inning, and then they got run ruled 19-9. Yeah, I've kept up with a good bit. I saw where Alabama took 2 out of 3 against Ole Miss, and I saw where Tennessee swept Missouri. You know, LSU continues to be LSU. I did see where Florida did salvage a game in their series, but yeah, man, Texas A&M's got it rolling right now. I mean, that's probably they're a top team in the country for a reason, and they've got it rolling offensively. They're a pretty good pitching team. They're top third in the league as far as pitching, but man, that lineup is just unbelievable.
So here's what I'm hoping, since you never bring me my country pleasing when it's gifted to us. I'm wondering if you could bring me a hat from Scotland. And in particular, I was thinking maybe, did you know they have a baseball league there? In fact, Edinburgh has the Diamond Devils club based there.
Okay, text that to me, because I will not remember that when we get off the air today. But text the Diamond Devils, and I will walk up to Old Town, and surely to goodness. Now, you know, Old Town Edinburgh and New Town Edinburgh are completely different. Now, New Town was built in the mid-1700s, so it's still an old town. But the thing about where I'm walking around down right now, New Town, it's not as trafficked and compacted as it is in Old Town. Old Town is just kind of like Gatlinburg with a bunch of old churches. It's kind of what Old Town's like. But surely in Old Town, they'll have some kind of hat up there with the Devil Dogs. Is that what you said?
The Diamond Devils.
The Diamond Devils. All right. Making a note right now. Now, the thing that I did have somebody comment also is because I have realized I'm the only person walking around here with some maroon shoes on. And somebody looked at me yesterday and was like, hey, I like those shoes. Because everybody's wearing white tennis shoes or black tennis shoes. And I actually got these tennis shoes at Maroon & Company in the Cotton Mill Marketplace. Go to maroonandco.com, type in the code NIL10. They'll give you a 10% discount, send the rest back to the Bulldog Initiative. I've had a couple Bulldog Initiative pullovers that I've worn already, Charlie. I may put them on again. Haven't washed them, but I may put them on again sometime later in this trip. And so our good friends at Wyatt Craig and his gang, they do a great job at Maroon & Company. And Charlie, I tell you one of the things, I'm sounding like I'm just constantly talking about advertisers right now, but one of the great things about traveling through Scotland and then seeing right now this planting season for all the crops, and I got to thinking about our good friends at Nutrient Ag Solutions, and I was thinking about either Shane could set me up a coffee shop over here, or I could talk to my good buddy Jeff Tarsi, and they could figure out a way that I could work in the ag industry over here with Nutrient Ag Solutions. Of course, there's Dynagrow Seeds. They're getting ready to plant a bunch of wheat over here right now, so they've got the fields tilled up, and so it's a beautiful area right now, beautiful country. And so Nutrient Ag Solutions, they got the Dynagrow Seeds, a proven track record for consistent performance, and, of course, over in the Mississippi Delta, they're planting soybeans and corn right now. So book your seed today at your local Nutrient Ag Solutions or visit dynagrowseed.com. The best seed in the world, Jeff Tarsi, and that great staff at Nutrient Ag Solutions and that great Dynagrow Seed.
Once again, Black Prairie Farmers, I stand with you. Bart's always giving the love to the Delta guys, and now giving love to guys in Scotland. But I stand with my hill country farmers, Bart, and the Black Prairie farmers. I'm nothing if not committed. And I am doing my research on growing corn. I'm looking to plant some here soon just to see if I can get anything out of the ground.
And I'm thinking about growing some soybeans in my deer fields this year. If I can keep the deer off of them to let it grow a little bit. So I'm actually thinking about getting some of those DynaGrow seed and plant for the deer patches this year. And, you know, the protein from the soybeans makes those antlers grow big, Charlie.
Well, you know, I'm not a hunter, and so I would not have known that. Nor would I have known if that's legal or illegal. I see things in the paper all the time about what you can and can't do hunting, and it's just, I just kind of glaze over and keep going. All right, so speaking of keep going, it's about time for you to go check out some more of the Scottish countryside or whatever it is one does. I am about to get ready to watch a baseball game here this afternoon, and here's my one thing I want from you. We've been telling everybody, Bart, that we want them. We're trying to grow, and we've had a lot of recent success, too, with the Bulldog Initiative, growing our numbers, growing the number of people contributing. What we've been asking everybody to do is to talk five people into joining. Talk five of your friends who are on the edge. Yeah, I probably need to. I don't know. Man, just help us get them in on a monthly basis. It makes a big difference to what we're able to do. But here's my thing, Bart. I've been making a map, and not too long ago I met somebody from New Jersey, and I said, I need a donor from New Jersey. And the guy, I've said, all right, and he signed up right then, and he even reached out to Maroon & Co. and got him a good pullover, one of those lightweight ones. I don't have anybody from Scotland. So if you could maybe get somebody to sign up, I think that would probably grow your stature here. If you could say to everyone, I added a Scottish member.
You know, Charlie, I think I can do it. And I have no doubts in my sales skills. And I will tell them that they will definitely need to. I tell you what, I will give this pullover that's in my bag right now to some person if they will sign up for the Bulldog Initiative. Surely to goodness, you can find me another, you know, quarter zip.
Well, you just told us it hadn't been washed, so I'm not sure if that will add or detract from the value.
They don't know that.
Well, there you go.
Hey, Charlie, I've heard a lot of people talk about the food in Scotland. You're going to hate the food in Scotland. As long as you don't eat the haggis and as long as you don't eat the pudding, the black pudding, it's all okay, man. The food is fine. You know, they got a bunch of fish and chips, but they don't have Heartland catfish. I can tell you that. They got a bunch of cod over here, so they don't have the Heartland catfish like we have back at home. And so I can't wait to get back to get some cornmeal fried Heartland catfish that they serve in all these great restaurants around the South. And so, yep, I'll be back to broadcast some baseball with you this weekend. We got three games next weekend. Hey, listen, remember we got the Tuesday night game down in Pearl against Ole Miss. And so the Governor's Cup is this upcoming Tuesday night. You going down for that?
Actually, Bart, it's worse. That game is on a Wednesday.
Oh, well, if you show up on Tuesday night, you can sit there by yourself.
Well, maybe go ahead and get good seats. Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting to see down the line what happens with that stadium, what happens with that ball game. But, man, I do not like playing a Wednesday game. Hey, I got to thinking, by the way, so Vanderbilt's pitcher gets ejected on Sunday, last Sunday. And because of the objection for the substances, he has to miss four games. So he misses the midweek game on Tuesday, which he wouldn't have pitched in anyway, and then all three this weekend. Don't you know, and can't we think of some coaches, some of whom have coached here, who would have been lining up a replacement game on Wednesday just so they could have their pitcher back on Sunday to add that one more game in there to delay the suspension or to accelerate it, so to speak?
Hey, didn't we do that with basketball one year where we play like seven games in 7 days just so we could get a guy back from a suspension early in the season?
Probably.
And it got everybody so tired that they ended up fighting.
Yeah. Boy, it could be books written. All right, Bart, let's call it a day. Let's go watch some baseball. And, man, have fun over there.
All right, Charlie. I'll see you later in a week.
All right. That's been Sunday Coffee. See you guys later this week.